Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
We return with more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Find Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter /X at Gard Goldsmith. We start at 6 o'clock Eastern U.S. time. Moving from the immigration story into the war story, I want to turn to a great book and an excellent writer, writer for freedom, a great guy, formerly the head of the Freeman magazine, Sheldon Richman, and his Free Association blog, and his Thank Goodness It's Friday, or Thank Goodness It's Freedom, piece from April 5th. Because this tells us a little bit more about some of the funky things people do when they look at the migration story. And it folds into that cover you see right there of his book, Coming to Palestine, which is a terrific book. I've had it for a number of years, put out by the Libertarian Institute, as Sheldon went to Palestine and discovered years ago just how bad things were for so many of the people there living under the yoke of the Israeli government. He wrote on Friday in a title, a piece titled Static Analysis, Clouds Immigration Debate, quote, or I'm just reading it. Opponents of people's freedom to cross national borders to where the best jobs are, a.k.a. open borders, make a rookie error. They engage in static analysis and overlook the dynamism of social processes that freedom produces. This is one of the things, as I mentioned to Jacob Hornberger, that I wanted to investigate to find out whether or not during times of great immigration, so-called legal immigration in the United States, the already established native workers suddenly experienced massive periods of unemployment. They did not. In fact, employment rose, and so did productivity, thanks to the new decrease in the expense for labor, and that savings could then be applied to starting up new jobs and new capacities. The consumers were able to save something. Again, why don't we just make one person do all the work of that two people could do, or two people do all the work that one person can do with a machine? Sorry. So, writes Sheldon, he says, I was recently asked on Facebook, are you enjoying Biden open borders? Biden's open borders? There's the mistake right there. People who ask that question look at a bad situation, say the mess at the southern border. Imagine one policy change, namely the removal of restrictions on movement, and they stop there. It's as if that policy shift would prompt no changes in how people, including Americans, behave. Because of their static analysis, the opponents of freedom foresee disaster. But hold on. That's like assuming that a significant change in the tax laws in either direction wouldn't prompt significant changes in people's tax-related behavior. It assumes that at least some people are not purposeful beings and do not respond to incentives and disincentives. But we know otherwise. For example, since World War II, federal taxes collected have been a fairly consistent percentage of GDP, regardless of the changes in the tax rates. Why would that be? Well, you know why. People respond to incentives and disincentives, elementary to the economic way of thinking. Pointing out this error is one of the first things a market advocate would tell an interlocutor who committed the error. Frederick Bastiat's wonderful What is Seen and Not Seen, the parable of the broken window, taught the lesson in reverse. He showed that an obstacle, a broken window, prevented a shopkeeper from acting as he would have acted, but for the need to overcome the new obstacle, that is, the need to buy a new window. He couldn't use the money to buy books, shoes, or something else. Those who focus on how societies full of actual people work understand this. You can't leave human action out of the picture. In the real world, decriminalizing foreign workers' freedom to move would represent profit opportunities, not only for aspiring immigrants, but also for entrepreneurial Americans. Yet the opponents only consider what foreigners would do. How could they have forgotten the Americans? What they don't like profit? Americans don't like profit? The southern border is indeed a mess. Many people are assembling there, many of whom are evading the government officers, and he says yay, and sneaking in or entering with provisional approval or helpless acquiescence. The government seems overwhelmed, and I will add the government is helping in many cases. Some governors have cynically shipped the newcomers to other states without their consent, using them cynically as pawns. Shame. Everyone can agree that something has to change. Freedom of movement advocates say the solution is to remove all the restrictions, not just restrictions on entry, but all the restrictions on what people can do once they cross the border. Here's the point. That requires eliminating all the rules on how Americans may deal with the newcomers. Right now, it's illegal to hire and rent to border crossers who lack the, quote, right government papers. As Chandran Kutathis eloquently reminds us, the government cannot limit the freedom of outsiders without also limiting the freedom of insiders. How easily that is overlooked. So-called open borders mean more than the mere literal dropping of entry restrictions. Laws against American conduct would also necessarily be repealed. Commercial relations between Americans and newcomers would be decriminalized. Immigrants come here to work, to make better lives, and to send money home to their families. Well, unfortunately, of course, there's the incentive for the welfare state, and it's been magnified recently with tons and tons of handouts in various states and on the federal level. Sheldon writes, they need jobs, housing, medical insurance, and other goods and services. Decriminalization on both sides of the ledger would replace the hazardous black market with all its dangers and exploitation and worse with a transparent legal market for labor, tenants, and consumers. Decriminalization, in other words, would invite entrepreneurs to form businesses designed to match newcomers with employers, landlords, etc. Entrepreneurship. Job and housing brokers or exchanges would set up shop near the border to offer their services. Other firms might offer transportation to private employment and housing centers. The possibilities are endless. They would be even better if the myriad destructive housing restrictions were repealed. No one can say how exactly it will look because entrepreneurship consists of discovery. That is its genius. This open market, by the way, would function as an invitation to workers who want to multiply their incomes 2 to 15 times through increased productivity. That's what happens when people are free to move from poor, low productivity to rich, high productivity countries. It is win-win, as free exchange always is. People don't exchange unless they think they're going to improve their status. There's no excuse for static analysis when it comes to immigration. Dynamic market analysis is not some new thing. It's one of the first points that free market advocates draw attention to. Unfortunately, even some smart pro-market people overlook dynamism and say dumb things. For example, Thomas Sowell once said, you can't let everyone come to America because if everyone came to America, it wouldn't be America anymore. Well, just a couple points, of course, that are mixed in with that from Sheldon Richman and his Friday blog. I just want to mention, of course, that big consideration here has to be given to the incentives that government gives to people to come in who don't want to work, right? Who are just coming because they're getting funded to come here. In many cases, they've asked people at the border, why are you coming? They don't even know why they're coming. They've just been paid to come. Cartels, drug cartels, international organizations connected to the UN. It's a weird situation. They cross the border. Then they get picked up by the central command and control system and dropped off at other subunits of the command and control system, like New York City or Massachusetts, Logan Airport, and they get subsidized there. Howie Carr put together an entire list of all the different things that these people get. They even get dry cleaning services done. He posted a picture of that, I think it was Saturday or Friday, of the dry cleaning packages in the plastic bags. So those incentives, people hear about those things. Now, whether they think long term and what's going to happen if that dries up, I don't know. But that is a major, major factor. And maybe one of the other factors that goes through your mind if you're worried about the immigration problem is, well, yeah, I understand that putting blocks between freedom of association is immoral, it's wrong, but we have all these problems that pop up. We can't allow for just unlimited immigration. Well, as we know, markets allow for attenuation for that. People might say there's not enough land. They'll build, new migrants, they'll constantly build and so on. Well, think about this. Would that apply to you, to your family, if they were going to be moving here decades ago, centuries ago? Should they have been prevented from moving here for the expansion? I understand the sentimental quality of, well, I think this area is being overbuilt. I think this area. But at almost every turn, we find that either trying to stop it engages our own form of conceit, or that we see that within the system of the land and the zoning, there already are political forces that are at work either to incentivize or disincentivize certain things, whether it's zoning for businesses or zoning for housing. There's going to be an increase in the cost for housing, not if you allow people to build more houses. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think aesthetically that looks so good. Well, then where are you going to apply that as other people tell you you can't do something, right? So this is one of the major problems here that we see from people, I think, looking at immigration, thinking that there are X, Y, or Z problems, and then not addressing their own hubris in saying, well, yeah, then maybe they should recognize that their own preferences are now being applied to other stretches of land, where if they were the ones to move there, maybe they'd give themselves an exception. Where's the cutoff point? They say, well, violence, crime. Well, then we start mixing in, of course, the extra costs that are incurred because of the political system, right? If you had a real private property system, it would attenuate based on the costs of accepting people, based on the need for new housing, then certain resources would be moved over to building. And at a certain point, you would see decreases in the migration as the opportunities might level out. And the costs for moving, if people actually incurred their own costs rather than being subsidized by the government, those costs for moving, housing would become more scarce. There might not be the land that's available because it has to go towards other uses, which people are recognizing as more valuable. That becomes difficult. And so these people can't afford it anymore. So no longer are they going to be coming in to do that. Again, you could get all sorts of options. You could get sponsors for apprenticeships and a lot of different types of things. But you're not going to see these market options arise. You're not going to see the way that people want land to be allocated, the way the market would want, the way the consumers might want to get something for less, having lower labor costs, but at the same time seeing that the influx of more people is now driving up the cost of housing and things like that. All of these things balance out without central planning. And in fact, central planning makes it worse because they bring in special favorites and they have special treats that they give to people. So Sheldon's argument, I think, could be amplified a little bit, especially with, very good, deep consideration to people recognizing the on-the-ground problems of government incentivizing people to move. That's not part of his conversation there. I think it's really important to bring that in there. And, of course, the fallacy that the government is going to do it the way you want it to do it. We've already seen it's not happening. It's not happening that way. And Donald Trump didn't really do it that way either. It's always been that way. Somebody is not going to be satisfied when the central government makes its plans. So it's just unfortunate. It's really too bad. Now, talking about the Coming to Palestine book, and maybe some people were satisfied with my reading of Sheldon's piece. Maybe they thought there was going to be more to that. So I hope I read it okay for you. Hopefully the amplification added a little bit as well. So if you are a big person who wants the borders protected by the central government, you might consider some of those things as well. But I want to turn now to the Palestine, Israeli, and Ukraine war situation. And for that, we need a theme. We got it right here. Oh, boy, do we have a lot to discuss now. This is great. A lot of tips of the hat to Kim Iverson, to Jimmy Dore, Grand Theft World. A lot of inspiration from all those folks. Excellent work. The Ron Paul report today. All right, everybody, let's go to it. Using TV and movies. All right. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly. Hit me quick, but All right, everybody, let's get right to it. I've got a number of things lined up for you. I want to start off with a quick look at, first off, let's talk about Ukraine via antiwar.com. I was all over this website today. Dave DeCamp, April 7th, wrote this. Ukrainian drone hits the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. That would be the power plant that I mentioned on Friday that, of course, everybody says, after the Russians took it over, of course they bombed themselves, right? You know, after they took over the power plant in Ukraine, they also blew out the dam that was used for the reservoir that was useful for water to cool the nuclear stacks. Yeah, you know, because the Russians, they're self-hating Russians, as I mentioned. Very important, very important. Well, as we also saw, the IAEA went in to investigate. And even though the trajectory of the rockets that hit the Zaporizhia plant back last fall could easily, last summer, could easily be recognized, they're like, I don't know where these might have come from. I don't know. And the Russians who were there were saying, why would we bomb ourselves? I don't know. We're just from the IAEA. I don't know. Well, let us go home. We did our stuff here. Okay, thanks. Well, the Ukrainians did it again. On Sunday, a Ukrainian drone struck the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Oh, man. Haven't they seen the China syndrome? China. Yep. The plant's officials said there was no serious damage in the attack. It's located in southeastern Ukraine. It's been under Russian control since February of 2022. Rosatom, Russia's state nuclear agency, later said three people were wounded in the attack. Ah, isn't it great? The United States gave them the weapons to do that, probably. That's awesome. It's either the U.S., Germany, or U.K., but it was likely the U.S. The International Atomic Agency, Energy Agency, which has inspectors at the plant, confirmed the drone strike. IAEA experts confirmed physical impact of drone attacks by ZNPP today. Well, at least they acknowledged it this time. They wrote on X, IAEA Chief Rafael Grossi condemned the attack. Well, I was there this time. I didn't arrive after the fact. This is a clear violation of the basic principles, I don't know if he was there, of for protecting, but some were, for protecting Europe's largest NPP, nuclear power plant. Such reckless attacks significantly increase the risk of a major nuclear accident and must cease immediately. The Zaporizhia nuclear power plant is located in the town of Enerhodar on the south bank of the Dnepr River. Ukraine controls the territory across the river, and the plant has come under Ukrainian shelling throughout the war. Yep, absolutely. They've also launched several failed attempts to retake the plant. And, of course, yes, the last one was in October 2022 when 600 Ukrainian commandos tried to cross the river. The U.S. supported the raid by providing targeting data so Ukraine could use its U.S.-provided HIMARS rocket systems, which hit Russian positions on the southern bank of the river near the nuclear power plant. Well, I'm sure it was all for you, right? I do it all for you. Yep, it's like that Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Everything I do it for you. There you go, Ukrainian drone. And there's this one. Before we start to focus on Israel, U.S., Philippines, Japan, and Australia conduct first joint military exercise in the South China Sea. Yeah, I'm sure the Chinese people are really excited about that. The U.S., Japan, and Philippines and Australia might conduct a joint military exercises in the South China Sea on Sunday in a provocative show of force aimed at China, writes Dave DeCamp. According to Japan's Kyoto News, the drills mark the first full-scale exercise between the four nations. The U.S. has been looking to increase military cooperation between its treaty allies in the region as part of its military buildup to prepare for a future war with China. Ah, the Red Rockers must be delighted. The four countries released a joint statement that made clear the drills were meant to push back on China's claims to the South China Sea. Okay, I think we can stop there. According to the South China Morning Post, we'll continue. The drills included two Philippine vessels, one American ship, one Aussie ship, and a Japanese ship, and focused on anti-submarine warfare training, tactical exercises, and photographic exercises. Man, they just don't give up, huh? Right? All right, well, let's give you a bit more information. All right, now, I want to show you a report about the follow-up. As we saw on the billboard, it looks like maybe the seasons are changing for Ukraine. Maybe, of course, the desperation is showing after the attack in Moscow. Maybe some politicians are starting to change their tune on Ukraine and on Israeli military supplies, even as the Speaker of the House continues to push for all of that. And as Joe Biden says, there's no change in U.S. support for Israel. This also by Dave DeCamp. I tell you, if I write three pieces in a day, that's pretty good. Dave DeCamp, I just read three pieces that he wrote yesterday while I was writing. He's amazing. His might be a little bit shorter, but that's pretty substantial for a Sunday. He's a hardworking dude. Here it is, everybody. Biden says Israel is doing what he asked, signaling that he is not going to change U.S. support. President Biden said on Friday that Israel was doing what he asked. What exactly are they doing? Are they really pulling out? No, they're not. They're not really pulling out in any way whatsoever. And he didn't exactly ask for them to pull out either. They did what he asked. What does that mean? It's open to interpretation, isn't it? You mean they slaughtered innocent people in a food convoy? Is that what they did that you asked them to do? Or slaughtering more innocent people that they just indiscriminately bomb using AI also? Is that what you've asked them to do? It's hard to figure out, Joe. There's plenty more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live coming up.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. More than 200 people rescued in Harris County, Texas as rivers flood. Residents being rescued on airboats from their homes. New developments out of the Middle East where a deal to release Israeli hostages from Hamas captivity is still being negotiated in Egypt. Meanwhile, the Israeli cabinet voting to remove the Al Jazeera TV network from operating in Israel. Back here in the U.S., pro-Palestinian protesters interrupt the University of Michigan graduation ceremony. The demonstration demonstrators removed on Saturday. President Biden speaking at the White House saying students have a right to protest but not to break the law. Biden scheduled to speak at the U.S. Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. as Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, begins, a week of events planned to educate this generation as to the atrocities the Nazis committed against Jews. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live.
This is Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. You can watch Liberty Conspiracy every Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X feed at Gard Goldsmith. You can also check out my Substack, the Gard and Goldsmith Substack. And if you are so inclined, you can also check out my work for mrctv.org. Thanks so much for tuning in, and thank you again for believing in the principles of individual liberty. Now, the other portion of what the grand and vaunted Speaker of the House, that great conservative Christian, Mr. Johnson, is doing has to do with, yeah, you got it, my friends. It has to do with privacy and FISA. Yes, surveillance. There's a little Steve Vai with John Lydon, of course, teaming up on the song called Fishing from the album Album. Yes, go crawl back into your dustbin, in the dustbin of history. Listen to Steve Vai here. Steve, way to go. So again, little nice reference there with Steve Vai. Again, to remind people, don't forget, if you're interested in music coming up this fall, you're going to be able to see King Crimson. Not, of course, the original King Crimson with people like Greg Lake and so on involved, but the 80s version of King Crimson. But Steve Vai is going to be taking the place of Robert Fripp. So it's going to be Adrian Belew, Steve Vai. I think the drummer for Tool is going to be in there. So it's going to be wild. It's going to be absolutely amazing. Cannot wait. Okay, so let's start things off with this from Thomas Massey. Incredibly, the same congressman who just voted to give the FBI $200 million for a new building are arguing we can't possibly require warrants for domestic FISA searches because a few FISA judges would each need to have a special room, SCIF, built to handle the warrants. Now, Congressman Massey makes a good point there, but if you notice, he says who voted to give the $200 million for a new building require warrants for domestic FISA searches. There's a distinction there that does not belong there for a strict reading of the Constitution. When he says domestic FISA searches, that distinguishes it from spying on foreigners, which, of course, can then pull in Americans afterwards, the way they've constructed FISA from 1978 on. Thank you, Ted Kennedy, up there in heaven. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Ted Kennedy, wherever you are. And perhaps he, you know, asked forgiveness, who knows, for many of his crimes. But this distinction is false. It's a false dichotomy. There is no distinction between what the United States can do when it wants, or what any entity of government can do, any level of government can do when it wants, when agents of it want to search someone from the United States versus searching someone from another country. It has to do with the so-called powers that the founders claimed they had over people, and then people are supposed to follow that if they enter the halls of the U.S. government and assume that power over us. None of it is legitimate, but it's the set of rules that they promised to those people over whom they would lord. They'd say, well, we're going to lord over you, but we'll put some caveats over how we're going to lord over you. Oh, thank you, dear sir. That's so kind of you. Wait, is it really? Well, yes, I'm going to rule over you, but I'm promising you that the way I rule over you will be very, very kind. You mean you've written protections over how you're stealing my liberty? You got it. Okay. Is your middle name QED? Yes, it is. It is. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that is just a false dichotomy. Now, there's another bit that I want to mention, which is not here, but it's a quick tangent about something that Thomas Massey posted yesterday. And I replied to it yesterday over on X. And now, Thomas Massey has an amendment in the for the Constitution that would say that the United States government cannot so-called regulate intrastate food growth or trade. Now, first of all, you don't need that. Okay. Second of all, just like you don't need states passing statutes about concealed carry or things like that. And we're going to get to a little the good action from the states from the 10th Amendment Center to round off the show in a nice positive way that I think you'll like. Great work from the 10th Amendment Center. But he has this amendment proposal, and you'll see it on his X feed. You'll see it on my X feed, where he says that this proposal would prohibit the federal government from regulating so-called foods that's only traded within the states. Okay, well, there have been numerous Supreme Court cases where different judges have ruled on it in different ways. It's ridiculous. And of course, we're all at the mercy, as I said to the senator when I went to Channel 50, Mr. Bradley, we are at the mercy of congressional, judicial, or executive department whim. And that also applies to the states. If something happens on the state level, look at the gun statutes they're throwing out there. They're going to try to cost more and more for licensed firearms dealers. You shouldn't have to be licensed in any way whatsoever to engage in free trade with somebody. That's all. So they do it on state levels too, right? Until it gets appealed, and you know they're hoping there'll be a different composition or that they can bankrupt certain people. They just want to cause hassles because they've got the power to government.
But what Massey implicitly does is he tacitly then accepts the idea that the feds can regulate stuff that goes over state borders, which is not the way the original Interstate Commerce Clause in Article 1, Section 8 was written. That's not what it was for, as James Madison spelled out in a letter in the 1800s. He said, and I've mentioned it many times here, at least a couple times a month, we have to mention this because this is one of the ways, this is one of the levers that the feds get in and try to control everything that goes over state borders, whether it's radio, telecommunications, or it's food, or it's cars going on the interstate so-called highways, the CAFE standards, what you can manufacture. All those things, they always go under this umbrella of, well, it goes over state borders, so we can regulate it according to Article 1, Section 8 in the Commerce Clause. But as James Madison said, that is supposed to be a clause that was written to allow for some sort of restorative or some sort of corrective measure after states had conflicts with each other because of state policies. And if you look in the Constitution, you can see this, the word state is capitalized. So it's the corporate states having problems with themselves could then turn to the federal government, say if the states, and the original idea was supposed to be that rather than preempting action, the states, if they had conflict over things like tariffs, could then go to the federal government and get some sort of remedial measure to remedy the conflict. It wasn't supposed to be that the feds could regulate anything that went over state borders, right? That's absurd. It's absolutely ridiculous. And it blows the lid off of all the enumerated specific powers that are granted over certain things. And it destroys the concept of the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. It's utterly ridiculous. It's also a form of taking. It also applies penalties to people before the fact, a priori, saying you have to conform in this way, even though no one has been hurt. Well, that conflicts with the Fifth Amendment, the Sixth Amendment, and the Eighth Amendment. So, you know, anybody with a logical mind, you know, if you're like I am, over the years, you probably have gotten very frustrated by seeing the way that they mishandle and abuse the Interstate Commerce Clause. I mean, it really is like an abused spouse, just over and over and over again. They're like, oh, I love you, Constitution. Boom, hit you again. Right. But it's not even that, because they actually use the Constitution as brass knuckles. It's the people. They say, well, we got the Constitution. Boom, hit you again. Oh, I thought you weren't going to hit me. No, I'm using the Constitution now as an excuse. See, I've got the power according to the Constitution. Yeah, but the Constitution also has some barriers in it. No, you don't understand. Did you hear that? What I just told you? I have the power. Oh, so the Constitution is just a beard? Yes. You're getting it now. Can I buy a razor? No, you can't. Especially if it comes from China, you might save a couple pennies. All right, so now let's get into this FISA stuff, okay? Section 702 of FISA. Now, if anybody thinks it's just Section 702 that is the problem, then ask them to, as XTC would say, wake up. Here it is, everybody. House Republicans confront fight over FISA reauthorization. Now, they are going to do it. They will do it. This guy wants it. And if you're just listening, that being House Speaker Mike Johnson, he wants it. This is CNN, so it's their phrasing. House lawmakers, I'm sure God appreciates that, are returning to Washington. I don't know. I can't speak for God. Are returning to Washington to a contentious issue this week, an effort to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Now, nowhere in this piece, if you take the time to grow more gray hairs to read it, do they ever question its constitutionality or the fact that it completely is an affront to the Fourth Amendment? House Republicans, they say, have been fiercely divided over how to handle the issue, putting pressure on Speaker Mike Johnson to find a path forward. Ah, what a euphemism. Amid competing factions within his conference, with the threat of a vote on his ouster looming, the Louisiana Republicans' every move will be under even more intense scrutiny. The law as it stands allows the U.S. intelligence community. You know, that one that James Clapper admitted was maybe kind of, well, not knowingly. Yes, knowingly, Mr. Clapper. Yeah, you perjured yourself in front of Senator Wyden and no one bothered to do anything about it. You should be in prison for the rest of your life. The law as it stands allows the U.S. And of course, you're a war criminal, so maybe there are some other punishments that should have been allotted to you as well. The law as it stands allows the U.S. intelligence community, the statute, to collect the communications records of foreign persons based overseas, but it also allows the FBI to search the data it collects for Americans' information in what critics have called a backdoor search. Duh! It's a sweep. And the FISA court is unconstitutional because they're supposed to issue real warrants. The FISA court giving permission on spying on a foreigner is not permitted by the Fourth Amendment. A warrant is a publicly available document issued by a judge upon the judge's, and I don't even think that this goes far enough to protect my freedom, the judge's assessment as to whether or not there is reasonable suspicion. And then the person to be searched and the items sought must be made public. Now, going back a little bit to 4 days ago, this one comes from WGMB out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Went to the home state of that man, that grand Christian. Speaker Mike Johnson, what is it that they say not to covet? Well, when you want somebody else's information or you want somebody else's money, what are you doing? Speaker Johnson is pitching colleagues on the chamber's latest proposal to extend the nation's warrantless surveillance powers, expending more money. And of course, he's warning of urgent deadlines and the risk of Senate intervention. Reforming Intelligence and Surveillance Act, that is the name of the new one, the Reforming Intelligence and Surveillance Act unveiled Friday, would extend Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which allows the government. And of course, that was just a ruse after the Church Committee hearings. That's why Ted Kennedy was involved. It was all a show. The Church Committee hearings, some people had their hearts were in the right places. You know, I think Church maybe had his heart in the right place. But a lot of people did not. They knew exactly what it was. It was a show to give them permission later to actually write a statute to make legal all the things that the FBI was doing previously that were illegal and, of course, unconstitutional. So for good perspective on this, let's turn to my friend and a friend of liberty, James Bovard. Congress puts more nails in the constitutional coffin as it sets to renew FISA. This came out yesterday. Promising reforms is the easiest way to perpetuate abuses in Washington. For more than a decade, illegal federal surveillance scandals have rocked the nation. Unfortunately, the House of Representatives will likely vote this week to continue letting the feds secretly spy on American citizens for another 5 years. Whistleblower Edward Snowden revealed, and we go with the jump around, Jump around. Come on, where are you? Looks like, it's the Post. It's screwing things up here. It's going slow. Sorry about that. Let me take that off the screen so you don't have to see it all happening over and over again. Okay. Looks like I've got to reload this because this eats up the CPU. New York Post is super busy, and it eats the CPU. So I'm glad that I'm actually still streaming to you. I should have remembered that and gone to his website or copied and pasted it into a Word doc. Edward Snowden revealed in 2013 that the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act had unleashed federal agencies to snoop on anyone they pleased, including anyone searching the web for suspicious stuff. In 2016, a top FBI lawyer made false claims to the FISA court to launch turbocharged surveillance of a Trump campaign official, helping open the door to the Russiagate bogus scandal that rocked the Trump presidency. It was all fake. It was paid for by the Clinton, you know what, the Clinton campaign. Justice Department Inspector General reports have repeatedly exposed FISA violations since that time. A coalition of principled Republican and Democrat members of Congress vigorously pushed for ending the warrantless searches of Americans' data in December. The law, the statute, was temporarily extended, but it expires on April 19th. Under FISA Section 702, the National Security Agency vacuums up troves of information as part of its foreign surveillance. But vast amounts of Americans' personal data also are incidentally snared. Perpetual abuses have occurred when the FBI sifts through Americans' emails and other information without a search warrant. This is why Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, quipped that FISA stands for Federal Investigators Stalking Americans. The speaker seemed to agree, just declaring in a Dear Colleague letter, "I can state unequivocally that the FBI terribly abused the FISA authority in recent years and in turn violated the trust and confidence of the American people." How about violated the Constitution? See, this is the problem. They will always allow for the door to be open, and he's going to keep his foot right there. Johnson, as James Bovard says, but Johnson has betrayed reformers and helped scuttle any attempt for meaningful limits on FISA spying on Americans. In lieu of requiring a search warrant, Johnson and the Deep State fan club on Capitol Hill are pushing the Reforming Intelligence and Securing America Act. So to wrap it up, everybody, here is what James Bovard offers as he looked at it. Proponents boast that the bill includes 56 reforms to protect Americans' rights. Some of the reforms, as they call them, should have made this bill a laughingstock. It requires the FBI to establish minimum accountability standards for employees. In other words, nothing. It requires FBI personnel who conduct 702 queries to undergo annual training. Awesome. Well, James Bovard writes, why didn't proponents add two more provisions, cross their T's and dot their I's, and claim the bill has 58 fixes for FISA instead of just 56? Capitol Hill is a surreal atmosphere where almost all prior government abuses vanish into mist when congressmen seek to perpetuate federal power. House Intelligence Committee Chair Mike Turner, Republican of Ohio, is relying on Orwellian-caliber falsehoods to spur support for reauthorization. Quote, "We are not spying on Americans. This is not a warrantless surveillance program." Seriously. On Sunday night, Turner told Politico, quote, "FISA is about surveillance of foreigners abroad. The issues of Americans' privacy and data are unrelated to our spying on foreigners." So James Bovard writes, plus or minus 3,394,053. That's the number of Americans whose privacy was unjustifiably zapped by FBI warrantless searches using Section 702 in a single year, per a 2020 federal report. Turner did not disclose what size broom he used to sweep 3+ million cases under the rug. FBI Chief Christopher Wray testified last month when, of course, he wasn't so busy investigating parents who went to school board meetings or Catholics who were praying the rosary. FBI Chief Christopher Wray testified last month that the Bureau's FISA reforms, quote, are working with a stratospheric rate of compliance, writes James Bovard. But the FBI admitted to conducting 278,000 illicit searches of Americans in 2020 and early 2021, the period covered by the FISA court ruling released last year. The FBI abused FISA to target people who notified the FBI of crimes, repairmen entering FBI facilities, and even chumps who volunteer for the FBI Citizens Academy program. House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan led the push to require the FBI to get a search warrant to pilfer through Americans' personal information. But the RISA pseudo-reform instead would merely, quote, require approval from an FBI lawyer for database searches about Americans. Bing! Survey says, number one answer, James Bovard. Yeah. Now let's get away from your privacy and talk about your freedom to travel. Oh, we've got a lot to discuss on that one, my friends. Yes, stay thirsty. I love that comment over at Rumble. I have to reload Rockfin here. See your comments, everybody. All right. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. So we're going to go over into Rumble as well. Freegan says backdoor search. Can say that again.
I want to be your backdoor man.
All right. Here we go. Here is a little something to change the pace, my friends. Talking about our travel freedom. Of course, you know, we're going to turn to regulations on cars and a follow-up on what I discussed last night, plus another little additional entry into the fight for travel freedom, thanks to Gary Newman. Gary, I can't wait. He's got to go into the red outfit. There he goes. That was awesome in the red outfit. Here we go. In my car.
Here in my car, I have the safest of all. I can lock on my doors. It's the only way to live in cars. Here in my car.
Yeah, baby, yeah. I didn't do the freeze frame. Oh, man. Yeah, whoa, there's another new freeze frame. I'm liking that one with the tambourine because it does come in at that part in the song. Good stuff from Gary Newman. Like I said, he's a pilot. He and his brother are pilots. They used to fly a bunch of World War II planes. They love the Mustangs, things like that. We'll be back with a lot more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. Remember to listen and watch us on Liberty Conspiracy Live on Rumble, Rockfin, and my Twitter/X, that being at Guard Goldsmith, every Monday through Friday, live at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, fellow conspirator.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.